I invite you to take your scriptures and turn with me, please, to the Old Testament book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. For the New Year's message this morning, we're going to zero our attention into one small statement given at the end of verse 4. But to give the context and the flow of thought here, we're going to read the first five verses of Joshua chapter 3. So in your Old Testament book, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The Bible tells us, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim," that was a grove of acacia trees in the land of Moab, the east side of the Jordan River, "and they came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then shall ye remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore.' And Joshua said unto the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Our text this morning is going to be taken from the very end of verse 4, which I think is a classic statement that is quite appropriate as we begin a brand new year, 2022. Notice at the end of the verse, God wants us to know the way by which ye must go. Here's the statement: "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." In other words, you've never been here before. And so you're going to go in a place you've never been, and you'll be experiencing some things you've never experienced before, but that's okay. I'm with you. And so I want us to concentrate this morning at this last statement of verse 4 as I deliver a message to you that I'm entitling "Advice to Live By When a New Year Has Come." And when I say the word advice, I don't want to convey the wrong idea that God is just offering a suggestion. These are my suggestions. God doesn't just suggest a way to live. He commands us how to live, and he does so for our good and his glory. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later on, but I like the way that this is titled. And so you'll permit me, I guess, that license to say this is advice that I want to share with you from the scripture as to how to live when a new year has come. And of course, the advice comes from God's word. But I trust the three simple things that I share with you, though there's nothing profound here, will be three things that you'll take with you throughout this entire year. And so if you wanted to summarize a New Year's message to take with you for the entire year, it would be the 3 points I want to share with you in this message. So let's bow our heads and pray first. I ask the Lord's blessing, and then we'll get into his word this morning. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity now to come to spend some time in your word. And we thank you that your word is the product of your very breath. And may we, like the Thessalonian believers so many years ago that the Apostle Paul commended, may we receive your word not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the words of God, which are able to effectually work in us who believe. And so may the word of God run and have free course. May it run, and may you be glorified, and meet the need of each who's here listening, whether on site or online. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do as you work in our hearts to remove blinders, showing us where our next spiritual step needs to take place. It's so easy to get distracted by what we see with our eyes, but may we see instead with the eye of faith what you want us to see here and take this message from your word with us throughout this entire new year. And we thank you for what you'll do in our hearts today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past week, my family and I traveled to Florida, so our white Christmas consisted of spending an afternoon on a white sandy beach. And there, south of Clearwater, Florida, we were actually at a place called Indian Shores, about 10 miles west, actually, of Largo, Florida, where my son and his family live. The sand on the beach was so beautifully white. It was so fine, so soft and silky. And as I sat down, burying my feet into the sand, in that cool sand on that warm, sunny day, was just very enjoyable to me. It was a perfect day to be at the beach. I also enjoyed, as I got into the water, not too deep, of course, because the water was very chilly. But as I got into the water, I was again reminded, and it brought back some childhood memories, of the water being so crystal clear, so gorgeous, and the smell of the salty, fresh air. I love that. There's nothing quite like it. I had asked my daughter-in-law, who lives in Largo, for directions on how to get to the beach, since she frequently goes there. However, when we were en route to the place that I had never been before, the GPS kept instructing me to turn in various directions, to take various turns, and to travel in a direction that was quite different than the verbal directions my daughter-in-law had given. And so we were interrupted quite frequently with a GPS voice that insisted we needed to turn around. We need to make a U-turn. We needed to turn left, as it would reroute us. And I kept thinking to myself, that's not what I was told. That's not the way I was told. And so I had to make a decision. Was I going to stick with the verbal instructions given to me by someone who knew the area well and had been there before, or should I trust a GPS app on the iPhone? Well, either way, I was faced with a dilemma because of what is said at the end of Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, was certainly true of me on that day. Ye have not passed this way here before. I was crossing over a road I'd never been on before, over the causeway, and then to a beach that I had never been to before but was looking forward to being there. So disregarding the frequent and repeated attempts of the GPS to reroute me so I could go where it thought I was supposed to go, I stuck with the verbal instructions given to me, and I ended up being thankful that I had ignored the GPS and followed instead my daughter-in-law's directions. As I thought about that, that raises a good question that I believe every single one of us needs to consider this morning, and that is simply this: what or whom are we trusting for directional advice to navigate through 2022? God gave us verbal instructions in His Word. And He gave them to Joshua, who passed them on to the officers, who passed them on to the people in Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, as to what needed to be done as they had crossed the Jordan River and entered uncharted territory. They had never been there before. In fact, all the spies who had been there before died, except for Joshua and Caleb. But what God offered was much needed and valuable guidance. And if Joshua had listened to anyone else or followed anything else other than what God had said, he would not have known the blessings of obedience. Interestingly enough, when you compare chapter 4, verse 19, which we don't have time to read this morning, you'll find that the time of year in which Israel is crossing the River Jordan and is entering into this promised land is said to be on the 10th day of the first month. That corresponds to our April in our Western calendar. The point is, this was the first month in the Jewish calendar. In other words, they were beginning a new year. And as they were beginning a new religious year, they were also beginning a new chapter in their country's history, as they were beginning now to do what God had promised for centuries was for them to claim. Likewise, what was true of Joshua and Israel as they prepared to cross the Jordan River at flood stage and stake their claim at the promised land is also true of us today. We have all begun a brand new year. And as verse 4 tells us, God wants us to know the way by which we must go, for we have not passed this way heretofore. We've not been here before. So it is true that we don't know what lies ahead in 2022, yet God does. So this morning, as we begin this new year, I want us to consider advice to live by when a new year has come. And do more than just consider it, embrace it, and to live it. So this morning, the first thing I call to your attention here is this first of three truths. First, see the past in the light of God's faithfulness. As you look at your life, as Israel was going to do, look at the past in the light of God's faithfulness. When you consider what Israel had experienced in the previous year, they had known some significant changes and some hard times. It was in the previous year that their leader Moses died at 120 years of age in the land of Moab. He never made it into the promised land. All he could do was just get on top of the mountain and look into it. He had been the voice of God to them as he delivered God's instructions about every area of life. Through the hard times, the headaches, the agonizing times, the times of distress that they all went through, good times and bad times, Moses was there. He was their faithful leader. Moses' older brother Aaron, Israel's first high priest, also died toward the end of the 40 years of wilderness wandering. His sister, Miriam, also died, the scripture tells us, in the first month of that 40th year of the wandering. And so when you read Numbers chapter 20, you find the record of both Miriam's death and Aaron's death. So it's a hard time for the nation. Some very significant people in their lives have passed away. The original generation that left Egypt with Moses had all died, and now there's a new generation that had arisen. And unfortunately, they did not learn the lessons of the past, and they too, from time to time, suffered God's disciplinary actions. Yet despite their failures and their setbacks, the nation as a whole followed their new leader, Joshua, and now they're encamped on that eastern side of the Jordan River, ready to cross over Jordan and claim the promised land. And so the book of Deuteronomy is given to these Israelites as they are there on the eastern side, ready to cross over to the Jordan River and claim the promised land. And so it's interesting in the part of the directions that God had given them while they were waiting to cross is recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. There God said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." The God who was faithful for Moses and for that previous generation would be faithful to them. The fact that Israel was led out of Egypt, went through 40 years of wilderness wanderings, and now where they were presently, all of that was testament to God's faithfulness to them through thick and thin. In fact, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 4, God said to the Israelites, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." What a faithful God. God's grace had brought them safely to this point, and his grace would continue to guide, provide, and protect them as they would live obediently to him and follow his directions in the new year. You know, as you look back over 2021, what kind of year did you have? When you look back, what do you see? No doubt many of us could say, you know, that was probably one of the most difficult years I've ever been through. For some, they lost loved ones who passed away, dear to their hearts. There were those who had times of prolonged sicknesses and serious threats to their physical well-being. Some this past year received some very devastating news, maybe from a doctor, or encountered some hardships physically that have greatly changed and affected their lifestyle. Some may have gone through emotionally traumatic experiences through job losses or other hardships. On top of all that, the upheavals that all of us have as Americans experienced from COVID that have affected every single area of life and continues to do so. Life is just hard. Yet as born-again believers, we can say, God was very faithful to me. Can you say that over this past year? As you look back, do you see the past in the light of God's faithfulness? Or do you only see the past year in light of your own misery, pain, or heartache? In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 24, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." God was merciful to you this past year. He brought you through. How do I know that? Because you're here. He said, "Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." A new year is to remind us we have a new chapter in life. We have a new day that has dawned, a new day for God's mercies to be displayed and God's faithfulness to be shown. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:24, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." Hopelessness is the emotion of despair. It is to say, I have no resources. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm out and I'm checking out. No believer needs to think that way. Why is that? Because we have a faithful God. He's with us through thick and thin. And although we may never know the answers to the plaguing question, why? Although we may never understand why we had to experience what we did last year, yet we know this truth. Our Emmanuel, God with us, has been exactly that for us. Faithful with us. And so as we begin 2022, there is good reason for every born-again believer to have hope regardless of what challenges to his or her faith he has experienced in the past, what you may be facing right now, or that is unknown to you and to me that we will be experiencing in the year to come. Because our God is a with us God, that means he is always with you and with me. Right now, right where we are, wherever you are, every single day. How do I know that to be true? Because the Bible says so. For instance, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, "I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." That means the God of Moses and the God of Joshua is your God if you know him as personal Savior. If you've been born again, you have the privilege of having this God with you. And he was with you this past year, though you may not have sensed his presence at all. We know that because his title, his royal title, reminds us of that truth. God with us. He's faithful. You can count on him. And so there is great security in the fact that God never changes. He's always the same. So my point is, as you begin this new year, see the past in the light of God's faithfulness. And although you or I may never want to ever experience again what we may have gone through, yet we can testify, my God is a faithful God. My God is faithful to me. He's preserved me to this day. There's a second truth that I want us to see as we consider advice to live by when a new year has come. And that is this. Secondly, live the present content in God's love. Live the present content with God's love. We're not promised the future. We don't know how long we are going to be alive. But every day that you live is a present. So live in the present as if God has given you a present, a gift. And the way you live that is content with God's love. When you read Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, it's precisely because of God's loving care for his people that he gave the directions and the instructions that he did. He told them, I want you to follow the ark because you've never been this way before. And then in verse 5, he says, I want you to sanctify or set apart yourself because I'm going to do wonders for you tomorrow. Say more about that later. But when you look at what Israel had gone through and what they were going through because of their frequent sinning and their unfaithfulness to God, one might think God would be totally justified in saying, all right, I've done my job. I brought you guys here to the brink of the Jordan. There is the promised land. Cross over, go claim that land that I promised Abraham. I wish you the best. He didn't say, I'm through with you. I'm giving up on you. I've had enough of you. I've had it up to here with your unfaithfulness to me. No, he gave them instructions because his idea was, my love for you is not going to leave you to yourself. Here's what I want you to do because I'm sticking with you. This past year, were you unfaithful to the Lord? Did you ever sin, disobey the Lord? We all have. We all go through moments in which we show ourselves unfaithful to the Lord. And yet, we're reminded of 2 Timothy 2:13, that if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so, because ye have not passed this way heretofore, God is not abandoning his people, and neither will he ever abandon you. His love would continue to be manifested by his continued gracious guidance. He wanted them, verse 4 says, to know the way by which he must go. So part of that guidance was the instructions he had given to Joshua in verse 3 and in verse 5. And so these were guidelines, these were commands to follow because God loved them enough to give them to him. You know, the devil has been very successful at convincing people that God's commands are intended to rob us of fun and freedom, and that they are the means of robbing us of our own happiness and fulfillment. And I don't think I need to prove that, because look at your heart, look at mine, look at the way people live. How many of us wake up in the morning and every single day this past year, we just couldn't wait to get out of bed so we could just get straight to the scripture and start reading it because we wanted to know, where can we change? How can we better express our love? Sometimes we get into the habit of reading the scripture because we'll feel guilty if we don't. We want to check off our spiritual list of things to do, and that's one of them. But instead of thinking of God's commands as a spiritual checklist, instead of being motivated by guilt or what I call guilt theology, how about instead being motivated by a genuine gratitude for your God, the realization that he really does love you, and so you want to love him better, love him more, love him first, best, most. And so God expresses his love through his commands. And I say that the average person looks at God's commandments as a thing to abhor, to shun. Don't even bother me with God's rules because I want to enjoy life. I want to have a good life. And if I conform myself to the word of God, life is going to be boring. I won't be able to have any fun. I won't get to do what I want to do. And those are the lies that Satan in our flesh convinces of that we accept as truth. And the truth of God's word, we consider to be a lie and we just dismiss it. But the exact opposite is really the truth. God's commands are given to us in Scripture for our protection. If you'll see it that way, it'll pull a whole different perspective to God's commands. God's commands are not to restrict you or become a burden to you. God knows the pain and the harm that otherwise would come to us if we were allowed to live however we thought best. When a little child wants to pick up a knife on the kitchen counter, any good parent is going to stop him from doing that. And if he has to, no. The child may cry. But I ask you, was the parent loving in what he did? Yes. Why? Because the parent knows the potential harm that's going to come if that kid gets that knife. The child doesn't understand that. All the child knows, he's being prevented from doing what he wants. And I submit to you, that's oftentimes the way we treat God. We don't understand, and we don't see what God sees. God looks down the road, and he knows what's going to happen if we do this. And he loves us enough to say, no, don't go down that road. Go down this path instead. And we can cry, and we can fuss, and we can fume, because we're being denied what we want, and we don't understand what's at stake. That's what's happening here in this text of Scripture. In fact, the Apostle John would say in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. So as Israel looked at the present challenges to their faith there on that eastern side of the Jordan River, think with me for a moment what they were facing. The Jordan is at flood stage. Because of the topography of the land, as it goes from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, the current is very swift. And there, they've got little children, they've got senior citizens, they've got livestock, and they've got pets that somehow have to cross that river. How are they going to navigate through a swift current without getting knocked over and drowned? How are they going to make it through that river at flood stage? They had all kinds of challenges to their faith. And yet they're being reminded in this text to be content in God's love and trust him with the guidance that he was giving them, because God knew what he was doing. God's plan was to split the Jordan River just like he did the Red Sea. They didn't know that in advance. And again, as they are on that eastern side of the Jordan River, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 through 9, again, the instructions of God to his people are these. Here's what he wanted them to remember. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you up out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore, because of my love to you, know this, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy, which them that love him and keep his commandments. God is lovingly loyal. One scholar put it this way, the wonders wrought for Israel exhibit the extremes by which God powerfully works in his love. Do you see any expressions of God's love in your life? If all you're focused on is what you were restricted from doing or prevented from doing, you'll probably conclude no. But can I challenge you this morning to look at your present content with the reality of God's love? And when you look at life from that perspective and through that lens, it changes your perspective. You see, God's steadfast love for you personally is designed to encourage you to be content with him. He loves you as no one else ever could or would. Let me illustrate this way. Have you ever gone out of your way to do something special for someone, and after you went through the expense of it, or whether you went through the trouble of it or whatever, The thought may have crossed your mind, I hope what I just did meant something to them. I hope they really appreciate what I did for them. That thought ever crossed your mind? As I think about that from time to time, here's a thought the Lord impressed upon my heart. I wonder if what God has said to me in His Word, what God has done for me in the past, and what He's doing presently, how He's graciously blessed me, I wonder if that means something to me. I wonder if I really appreciate Him for Him and His love. You know, it's so easy to take for granted what God does for you and what God does for me. Did God ever answer any prayer for you this past year? God ever bless you in any way? Did He prosper you in any way this past year? How did you show your appreciation? Did that mean anything? Or did you quickly forget it to be distracted only by the trouble that you soon encountered thereafter? Do we really appreciate Him for His love to us? Are we really content with the fact that He really loves us? In fact, the Apostle John would say in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Does that mean anything to you? Does that really hit you with the fact that, wow, God really did love me, does love me, will always love me? How can I best express my love back to Him? In fact, it's interesting that as you look at Romans chapter 8, we don't have time to turn there this morning, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, verse 37 through 39, in that classic section about Christ's love and God's love for us, Paul asks two questions that I can summarize this way. One, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then secondly, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? And you know what Paul's answer is? No one and no thing. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, he will say that I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, now get this, nor things present, nor things to come. And he's referring there to things circumstantial. So whatever you're facing circumstantially today, or you will face in this new year, God hasn't quit loving you despite the pain you may be experiencing or will experience. God hasn't stopped loving you and never will. And so whatever you are facing right now, as long as you stay focused on your pain and misery or on your unsatisfied longings and unfulfilled desires, you are robbing yourself of the contentment that comes from the reality of God's love for you. So my point is, as you begin 2022, not knowing what challenges to your faith will come, God's desire for you is to know this. Live the present content in God's love. Can I maybe flip the coin on the other side to get you another perspective of this? Do you realize that you cannot be tempted with what you don't want? Think about that. You cannot be tempted with what you don't want and have no desire for. Discontent makes us sitting ducks for temptation. When we've convinced ourselves, I need something more, God's not enough, He's not doing enough, I need something more, we left ourselves wide open. We're easy pickings for the devil. We're sitting ducks for temptation. Because the devil's smart. He knows and tailor fits, tailor designs, if you will, temptations that are aimed at what we really are craving. And what might be a point of weakness in your life might be a strength in mine. What might be my particular weakness might be a strength in yours. The devil knows that. And so the question is, what are you really desiring this morning that is more important to you than to just be content with God's promise in Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good, literally beneficial thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you believe that? That's God's promise to you. Can you be satisfied with that? Can you be content with that? Will you ask God for the grace to live in the present, content with his love? Because he doesn't have just an emotional feeling for you. He expresses his love very personally. As you begin 2022, see the past in the light of God's faithfulness, live the present content in God's love, and then thirdly, meet the future strong in God's grace and peace. Meet the future strong in God's grace and peace. Would you notice in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, this statement? Sanctify yourselves, in other words, set yourself apart unto God, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. As Israel was encamped before the River Jordan, it was a time for new beginnings for the aged as well as for the young. There would be new challenges to their faith, new displays of God's power, new experiences in which their children could hear of God's dealings and learn to express their own confidence in Jehovah. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 is all about that. Israel was soon to embark upon a journey in which they would face unforeseen events, and these challenges to their faith would be opportunities for them to respond in such a way that communicated their complete confidence in God's wise direction for their lives. You see, Israel's God was a miracle-working God. They had seen his miracles in the past. They were experiencing his miracles and power in the present with the daily meeting of their physical and dietary needs. And verse 5 then indicates God's intent. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously, God's not going to split the Jordan River in two in each of our lives. But there are obstacles to our faith that we can successfully overcome with God's enablement. So that means Israelites were not going to face the future and the unknown by themselves, because the Lord would do wonders among them. The Lord was with them to work. And God would work in them, and God would work for them, and they were to expect that. So I want to ask you a question this morning. As you begin 2022, are you expecting God to do wonders for you this year? In what ways do you want God to work in your life? In what ways do you want to see God show himself strongly in your behalf? You see, you do not face your future alone. This is interesting. As I looked at it, if I'm correct in my assessment here, three times in the book of Deuteronomy and twice in the book of Joshua, God reminds his people that he personally will fight for them. I don't know about you, but if I ever got into a fight with a person, I don't want to be fighting someone that's taller, stronger, and more skilled than I am. I am no martial arts expert, believe me. But I don't want to get into a tangle with somebody who is, because they could make me turn into a pretzel here very easily. And they could really finish me off very rapidly. I don't know about you, but I would never want to be on a site in which I am opposed to God and God's opposed to me. You're going to lose that battle every single time. God is undefeated. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." A lot of times we cause all kinds of stress and unnecessary agony because we're trying to fight the battles with our own resources. And oftentimes we won't win that because we're facing things beyond our control. There is nothing outside the realm of God's control. God's never lost a battle, so let him fight your battles for you this year. There are things that you'll be facing that you don't know how to deal with. They're beyond your control. Turn it over to the Lord. Let him fight your battles. He's never lost. You see, the truth of the matter is we do not serve a do-nothing God. Please remember that. We do not serve a do-nothing God. In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. That's a reference to Christ's return. So to borrow the words of the hymn writer John Newton, we could say this could be our own testimony. Through many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. 'Tis grace that hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. You know, through particularly dark and difficult seasons of life, I personally have had to resort frequently to the scriptures for direction and hope. There are two passages of scripture in particular that have been my own ministry anchors for many years now. One of those is God's promise in Psalm 32:8. God said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And I like the way Isaiah 58:11 begins. I will guide thee continually. The other passage that I've had to hang on to over the years has been the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 3, he said, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In reality, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're not just having difficult times with difficult people. We're in a spiritual warfare. Endure hardness as a good soldier. But you don't have to endure hardness alone, because God's grace will strengthen you. Grace is God's unmerited favor, but it also has the meaning in the New Testament of God's divine enablement. God will enable you. So the Bible tells us then the source of this grace and peace that we're to be strong in as we face our future. And 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he said, grace and peace be multiplied. How do you and I know the multiplication of grace and peace in the midst of adversity? Here's how we do it. It's through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In other words, there's something about God and something about Christ that though you either one don't know, it might just be stuck up here in your mind, but for whatever reason has never had any impact. Your eyes have not been open to see the reality of that truth. There's something we need to experientially know about our God, that if we knew that, here's the result. It brings a multiplication of grace and peace. The Bible also tells us how to obtain this grace. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible says, God resists the proud, the self-sufficient, the self-confident, the self-reliant. I don't know about you. I don't want God resisting me. I don't want to be on that side. But he gives grace, divine enablement, unto the humble. So there you go. Humility turns on the faucet, if you will, so that God's grace can be poured out on you. Humility turns over the reins of one's life, his present, his future circumstances, to a much more capable and wiser governor. Humility expresses itself in daily reliance upon God for the grace, divine enablement, and peace as future challenges to our faith are encountered. God always delivers on what he promises. And because he is Emmanuel, he is with us, that means God is always for us. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe God is for you? We often think of our hardships as God somehow being against us. That's not what the Bible says. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32 tells us, he that spared not his own, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God can meet your greatest need, which is deliverance from sin's penalty, does he not have the ability to meet any lesser need you have? Certainly does. So be strong in his grace and peace then, that he will supply your every need. There's no need to worry, no need to fear. You know, last Sunday, churches all over the world gathered to celebrate the birth of Christ at Bethlehem, because a king has come, and that very same king is coming again. And on the heels of the celebration of our king, the reminder that he is with us and for us has the power to carry us fresh into a new start of a new year. And although things and people around us shift and change, our God never changes. And although the future ahead of us is uncertain, like driving through a very dense fog, yet God and his word are never uncertain. So as we navigate our way through a brand new year in 2022, let us go then in the power of God's grace and peace. You know, it had to be an encouraging and comforting source of confidence for Israel to see the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them as they safely crossed over the Jordan River into the uncharted promised land, and to know the visible symbol of God's presence and power was leading them. Now, as born-again believers today, we don't have a visible object like the Ark of the Covenant to assure us of God's presence and power, but what do we have? Something that we can see, something that we can hold. We have his word, his promises. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the abiding presence of his Holy Spirit as our comforter and guide. So as we embark upon a new year, a new day, and begin to write a new chapter in our church's history and in our personal lives, we can spend time praising and thanking God that even though every step of life is a new one, we can walk confidently through even the darkest of times, through the scariest of shadows, because we know that our Emmanuel is with us. And while we can get frustrated at times because of the failure of our own GPS apps to give us proper direction when we really need it, God never makes a mistake in his guidance. It's always right, spot on, and on time. His guidance and the governance of our life's circumstances are always for our good and his glory. There's never a mistake that God will ever make. And while there are so many competing voices that clamor for our attention and offer plenty of directions and guidance in life, let's not dismiss the instructions and guidance our Heavenly Father personally provides us. So as we begin 2022, we begin a new year where, as Joshua chapter 3, verse 4 so succinctly puts it, it's true of each one of us. We have not passed this way before. So how do we proceed? How do we navigate this year? I suggest to you three truths here. First, we see the past in the light of God's faithfulness. We live the present content in God's love. We meet the future strong in God's grace and peace. That's good, sound biblical advice to live by when a new year has come. Let's bow for a word of prayer.